The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show as we head into hour two. Delighted to be here with you. Mr. Bill is here. Young David is here. We've got the whole team. 602-508-0960 is the number. 602-5089-60. We covered a bunch of stuff in the first hour. We can continue to do that or move on to other stuff. But let's first go to Tim in Peoria. Hi, Tim.
Seth Leibson, how are you, sir?
I am fine. It's been a while. Where have you been? What have you been up to?
It has. I've been busy. No, not teaching. Doing the greater good, I guess.
Okay.
Contributing to the greater good.
All right. I'm glad to hear.
Hey, time to put your teacher hat back on to educate the listeners, because perhaps they may have the same question.
Okay.
When it comes to special counsel,
yes,
is the special counsel, is that a legislatively controlled program?
Yes and no. It's a law that was passed by Congress that authorizes the appointment of a special counsel, but gives that operational execution to the Attorney General of the United States. So it authorizes the Attorney General. So it's a mixed blend of Article 1 and Article 2 powers. It's a mixed blend. It authorizes its use, but it is triggered by a decision of the Attorney General.
So any chance that the legislature can come in, say, by that wild firebrand Jim Jordan, to amend this legislative element to where the special counsel no longer possesses discretion when a crime has actually been committed, in that when her goes over to the Attorney General and does not recommend charges, could the legislature come back, if an amendment was to be made, to override that?
Well,
theoretically,
I suppose that could happen. But think about what you would be asking, because the House of Representatives, or Jim Jordan in this case, the head of the Judiciary Committee, you know, primarily has constitutional power to impeach. That is the typical power vested. Now, could they call witnesses under an investigation pending legislation about on anyone in the administration? Of course, they call witnesses in all the time. You have even seen them subpoena witnesses, which is the point of what I'm about to say. And the problem, I think, with what may be being sketched out here is, when Republicans subpoena Democrats and the Democrats ignore that subpoena, they can be held in contempt of Congress, let us say, right?
Right.
But to get that, you need a U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. to prosecute that case. Good luck with that.
Yes.
Good luck with all that. So in many respects, while, you know, I think these special these special counsels are problematic, I think they're a little better than the independent counsel statute. I think they're problematic. Here's the dealio. I don't think you're ever going to find a special prosecutor that has either enough wherewithal or enough teeth to get rid of a sitting president because of so many years of there being the notion that you cannot prosecute a sitting president of the United States for criminal acts.
Right.
It's almost always going to wait till after the case. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just think that what her did, it's just it's gross, right? He laid out the fact that a crime was clearly committed. However, we're just going to let this one go. And I don't think right now there is no precedent to be noted with regards to President Trump's classified document case, in that her decision not to men can be used as part of an appeal on President Trump's side?
I don't think so, because what you would need, if I understand the question right, Is your question? Let me see, let me reframe it, and you tell me if this is what you're asking. If not, feel free to reframe it yourself. Are you asking, can Trump appeal his prosecution by the precedent of what Robert Hur found with Biden? Is that what your question is?
Correct.
Okay. Yes and no. It won't have Trump's attorneys can certainly point that out as an inconsistency, but it has no judicial weight because there was no judicial conclusion. Remember, all you had here was a prosecutor's conclusion before a trial, before an indictment, absent an indictment even. So it won't have any legal support. It might make some kind of morally legal. It may have some moral legal weight with a judge, perhaps, but it doesn't have any strictly legal weight. In other words, you can't cite to a non-justiciable finding. You can't cite to a non-case that's been decided as a precedent. To be precedential, it has to be a case.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
all right, sir. Well, I appreciate it.
I tried. I probably got 10 things wrong there, but that's the best of my knowledge.
The heads are spinning. Yeah, the heads are spinning on this one. It's just I'm baffled, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, basically, he said that the president was incompetent to maybe stand trial, but he's totally okay to run the most powerful country in the world. It just makes sense to me.
Listen, this is what I want to get to in the next segment, or maybe even start in this segment. We are living with a president who has been found to have diminished faculties and faulty memory by this Robert Hur and his team of investigators. We now have the transcripts that we can all view ourselves to see that that conclusion was no reach, was no stretch. I don't understand how we can continue in this Hans Christian Andersen type emperor no clothes world, where a man who could not get a renewal on his driver's license or pass a red flag law that he supports can be in charge of the United States military or our nuclear codes. I do not understand that world, which is to say I do not understand this country, which is to say I do not understand the Democratic Party right now that thinks they have to try and make us blind to what's going on. Why will they not swallow the bitter pill and get a good Democrat in there, or at least a sentient Democrat in there, who can make us not look like a laughingstock?
It's because the man behind the curtain, Seth Leeson.
The man behind the curtain.
Joe Biden is not, as we all know, running the country, unfortunately.
The man behind the curtain comes from what novel?
Oh, you would do this.
No, you know it. Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Does that help you?
Oh, well, The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it's okay.
All right. There's this wonderful line. It's one of my favorite lines. There's some really pregnant lines in that novel right when he's discovered as the man behind the curtain, Tim. And one of my favorites, although I have a few others, but one of my favorites in there is when Dorothy says, "You're a very bad man," once she finds out that they had discovered that he was a fraud. And he has this great retort. He says, "No, I'm actually a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard." Isn't that a great line? It's just a funny, great line. I can't get out of my head. But there's some great stuff in there.
Perfect.
The most important stuff in there is when he's talking about the Tin Man or the Woodsman and the heart and the importance of a heart. That is beautiful poetry in there in the novel. If you ever go get a chance to read it, Tim, it's really wonderful what they say in there. Yeah. Really wonderful.
Yes, sir.
"It's an imperfect instrument," he says to the Tin Man. "They've never been able to make one that doesn't break."
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the schoolhouse lesson.
All I care about is literature, really, and barbecue. Literature and barbecue. Amongst the things I care about most, it's children's literature, barbecue, and virtuoso trumpet, and finding Sasquatches. Those are my four interests. And a little Aristotle, maybe a little Aristotle sprinkled in between. But I want to make a serious point about children's literature, and that's not the most important piece of one, but it was a monumentally important piece of one. It was probably the first piece of literature in the English language actually directed towards children. We interviewed a scholar from Rutgers University on this. It was actually, when Frank Baum wrote it, the first piece of children's literature written directly for children. And there's a lot in there that he does including some interesting paradoxes, like the idea of a good witch. That was totally paradoxical. There was no understanding that a witch could be good until The Wizard of Oz. But anyway, my larger point, without getting caught in that stuff, as my friend Shauna likes to emphasize when I say it, the main point is if we have a crisis in American culture, more than any other, it's the crisis of children's literature. Children's literature, that is our crisis. Not that they can't read. That's its own problem, and it's big. It's what they are reading. Plato says the two most important questions a society can ask is who's teaching the children and what are they being taught? Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. My friends at the Midas Gold Group War Room point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank, but the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank. That belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. That's 480-360-3000. Or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 480-360-3000 or MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it, MidasGoldGroup.com. Stuff. The word of the day, sort of.
I knew that one.
You knew
that's
it?
That's not a fancy word. That's one syllable.
Quilted material worn under chain mail from old French estoffe. I think that's how you say it, or estoff. Either estoffe or estoff. I don't know French. Is it estoff?
I have no idea.
You know French.
If it's Spanish,
you missed
it might be
so
estoffe.
Much yesterday. You missed so much, young David.
You missed stuff.
Oh, really? What did I miss? What did
you
do?
You missed me watching the Angels lose. I rode a bicycle along Tempe Town Lake. And I had Mexican food. And you missed all of that.
Something tells me that missing you watch baseball and missing you miss watching you ride a bike and miss watching
you
eat is not missing a lot.
You could have been riding the bike with me. You could have been watching the baseball with me.
The image of me riding a bike with you is not something I can comprehend or can handle. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Speaking of stuff or S stuff, you missed our weekly Mark Grady
email
agglomeration of 75-cent English words that we used from last week. His vocabulary list of my words from last week were pejorative, exegesis, satraps, pedagogy, enervating, tricolon, benousic, quotidian, status quo, ante, paroxysms, innumerate, percurium, temporal, appellation, boideal, factotum, amanuensis, dolorous, and chapfallen. Can you define all those? You should be able to by now.
I'm still just trying to figure out how to pronounce a stuff or stuff.
Well, it's a borrow word. It's a borrow word. That's when it's from another language, but we adopt it as our own. So we do that a lot with Yiddish, don't we? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Schwitz and...
I think America has done that since we were a country.
Yes, of course, of course. We have a lot of borrowed. Yeah, borrowed words.
Taken a lot of borrowed.
Yeah. Loan words.
We loaned them. We'll pay them out later.
Well, they loan them to us, and we'll get them back later. But you had a good day off, it sounds like.
I had a good day off.
And you were here with your family as well?
My mother was here earlier this morning. She saw the place.
Did you show her around Phoenix?
Yeah. Saturday, we went to the zoo. I think I told you about that.
It's all happening at the zoo.
I went to the zoo.
You're going to play the Simon and Garfunkel song on the way out?
It's all happening at the zoo. I'm not familiar with that one. But
oh,
I can
play
it.
You'll love it. Go on. So the zoo. What else did you do?
She was too tired. I wanted to take her to the drummer on Saturday.
Did she not get to see the Dirty Drummer?
Mm-mm.
Our favorite watering hole?
No, but I saw a great show there.
Good.
A great show. It was sort of a June Carter Cash tribute with a Johnny Cash character actor as well. It was great.
Did they do Darlin' Companion?
No, but they did Jackson. A lot of, she had a lot of original work too.
Why wouldn't they do Darlin' Companion? It's such a good song.
Because it was like that. It wasn't that they were trying to be them, you know?
No.
It was
I don't understand.
The same fashion, the same hairstyle, but they're their own people. They're trying to start
singing
their own record styles. And,
we'll look like Johnny and June, but we'll sing different people's songs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
You're criticizing the way that they make a living.
I'm going to dress up as Franklin Roosevelt, but I'm going to act like Ronald Reagan?
Well, you know, they're just...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't get it.
You're critiquing this great music act, probably the best music act I've seen at the Drummer.
All right, we've got a good act, 960. Let's talk about our act. There will be no criticism of our act.
Much longer.
Yeah, not at this rate. March 26th, Fighting for Freedom. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher and Brandon Tatum and myself. The three of us will be on stage. We'll have other special guests. And we'll be talking about the elections and the issues most important to us in these elections. Want to hear what you think the most important issues are, how to think about them, how to talk about them, how to convince people to see our way on these things. It's going to be a great event, Arizona Christian University, March 26th. Get tickets at 960thepatriot.com, 960thepatriot.com. What am I missing? Anything, young David?
Well, we'd like to offer you a listener discount as a listener to this show.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to continue on with this coupon for those of you out there that would like to get premium and VIP tickets to our event. It's the code Seth, the number 5, and OFF off. That's Seth, 5 off. It's a $5 discount on a ticket. And that will stack if you buy multiples. As I've said before, if you want to get tickets for all your family, all your friends, your whole PTA group, and everybody in between, go right ahead. Use that code Seth, 5 off, and your discount will stack.
Nice. Thanks an awful lot. Yeah, I wanted to say something else about the Robert Herr testimony and Q&A today. The special counsel's appearance before the House Judiciary Committee. Byron York gets his hands and arms around it nicely. He writes, "Just 4 days ago, after the State of the Union address, Democrats were exultant in the belief that 81-year-old President Joe Biden, with a high-volume one-hour-plus speech, had put to bed the question of whether he has the mental sharpness to serve a second term in the White House. Now, some of those same people are angrily denouncing congressional testimony that revives the Biden competency question. The testimony was from Robert Herr, the special counsel who concluded that Biden illegally mishandled classified information. Herr testified before the Republican-controlled House Judiciary Committee. The testimony focused on two issues. The first and most important was whether Biden willfully retained classified information. The second issue was the age question. As Wednesday began, it was clear Democrats and their allies in the media were furious with Herr for bringing it up in his report made public last month, and then even more furious with Republicans for bringing it up again today. MSNBC's Morning Joe lit into Herr, charging that Herr was a craven hack trying to curry favor with former President Donald Trump. The whole crew seemed to believe that the State of the Union address had proven for all time that Biden is sharp and energetic, and that anyone who maintains that Biden's age is still a problem is a craven hack trying to curry favor with Trump. That's why I suppose they were so rough on Robert Herr today. So rough on Robert Herr because he's going against the narrative they thought they had put in the can or in the tank or in the bag. They thought they had solved the age issue. I'm going to come back to that when we come back. It's all happening at the zoo. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. You know what else you missed yesterday, David?
What did I miss?
You missed, you may hear that promo that's going around on our station of Seb Gorka calling AOC a buttercup. Have you heard it?
Yes. Grow up, buttercup, or something.
Yeah, something like that. How's it going? Something like that. Yeah, like get a spine, buttercup, or something like that. And it made us wonder about what a buttercup is. It's a flower.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
of course,
it's a flower.
But it's a flower that must be based on something, right? It's called a buttercup based on the notion that there must have been cups of butter, evidently. But it turns out that it is a British thing, and Seb Gorka's English is really very much British-inspired. So that's where it all comes from. But it's the
funny notion.
Well, we talked about the song The Foundations You know, why don't you build me up? Why do you build me up, Buttercup?
Yeah,
and they're a British band.
Buttercup. I didn't know.
Yeah. So it's all a very British thing. I guess we could call Buttercup a loan word, maybe.
A loner. It's on loan.
Yeah. That's a great song. It's a fun song, right?
You know what else that you missed over the weekend?
Well, I didn't miss anything.
You did.
Just because I wasn't living your life doesn't mean I missed anything.
Well, everybody else should live my life anyway.
Yeah.
I had a great dining experience at a place that you recommended me.
Yeah.
And I just want to give them a nice, not a paid shout out, but just a nice shout out to our listener audience.
Sure.
Check out Feeney's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
12th and Maryland.
Exactly right. It felt old. I walked in the door and I was like,
that's the charm.
I just can't put my finger on what era this is.
Yeah.
But it felt traditional. It felt old. It was on the affordable side of things.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like, I don't know, Golden Girls. And I say that in
complimentary. No. It's sitting right there for you. The comparison is sitting right there for you. I have compared it to that restaurant in the Rockford Files. Remember that restaurant?
Where he meets Beth
and everyone. It's like that. It looks
the wooden chairs.
Yes, and the darkness and the candles with the webbing, the red candle things.
Suffice to say, I took my mother there. It will not be my last time.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, they were the original Cork and Cleaver, and Maria's the owner over there. She does a great job. She's added kind of a Greek element to it, so there's some Greek food on the menu based on her cultural heritage. It's a neat little place.
Well, I appreciate the recommendation. Seth has never steered me wrong
never.
In food.
I know food, don't I?
But right. I'd like to say for the record, folks, Dirty Drummer was my idea.
Okay, it was. And I think the thing that you were attracted to is that it was old, right?
Yeah, it looked old.
There's a lesson here, a pedagogical lesson about education. And the lesson is this: just because something is old does not mean it's bad. Bill Bennett taught me this.
Exactly.
Equally true: just because something is new does not mean it's good. And this is true of all kinds of education innovations, particularly when it comes to curriculum and teaching styles. Just because something is old doesn't mean it's bad. Just because something is new doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's not good. Doesn't mean it is good. Doesn't mean it's not bad. Doesn't mean it's bad. And that's, I guess, in a way, the case Joe Biden has been, or others and Joe Biden have been trying to make, that his age is actually a plus because it gave him experience. Now, that's another lesson. Experience isn't necessarily good. You can have experience doing all the wrong things. Remember what Barack Obama's own CIA director, Robert Gates, said about Joe Biden. He got every single foreign policy decision wrong. He was wrong about the nuclear freeze. He was wrong about support for anti-communist movements in the 80s. He was wrong about Ronald Reagan. He was wrong about almost every. He was wrong about. He opposed the first Iraq War, the one that everyone supported, and he supported the second one, which was ending up so controversial. He opposed killing bin Laden. The man has experience, yes, in all the wrong things. Somewhere there's a Jeff Goldblum line in there about learning all the wrong lessons and repeating them over and over again, like Jurassic Park. He's the owner of Jurassic Park. At first there's the oohs and the ahs, and then it always ends up with the running and the screaming and the blood. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. I was just reminding myself of some of those great Jeff Goldblum lines from Jurassic Park. Dr. Ian Malcolm, I was thinking of the line with experience in Joe Biden where John Hammond says to him, "I'm not making any of the old mistakes again." Ian Malcolm says, "No, you're making all the new ones." Which is, I guess, what you could say about Joe Biden. But I forgot, I was just watching some of the old cut-ups of Ian Malcolm. He's just so good, Bill. You know, he's holding the woman actress, she's holding the, is it Laura Dern? She's holding a baby T-Rex. And she goes, how do we find the adult? And Ian Malcolm says, just listen for the screams. It's so funny. Just listen for the screams. All right. There was a relation here to the dinosaur at 1600, I guess, and the idea of experience and making the same old mistakes again, and old and new in some respects. But that was why they went after Robert Herr, hammer and tong, today. Even this morning, Eugene Robinson of the New York Times was on Morning Joe saying, speculating before Herr's testimony today, saying, is he going to go deeper into this sort of fantasy world that he created in the report? What fantasy world? These guys are operating as if we're stupid, that we can't see what's going on with this president of the United States. John Stewart had it. Let me back up. I have some friends in Washington who are in some liberal places, precincts of Washington, D.C., that operate in public policy and politics. To a T, they have all told me, without naming names, that the people at the White House they're in touch with tell them it's not good. It's not good. Now, we didn't need to know that. You didn't need to hear that from me. We can see it with our own two eyes. Who was this woman? She was on, she's a reporter. Her last name is Palmieri. I can't remember her first name. She was on Bill Maher's show last weekend. She has a big piece at a news site called PUCK Puck, and it's all about the liberal crowd in Washington thankful to John Stewart, because John Stewart, you may remember that monologue he did about Robert Herr and Joe Biden. John Stewart gave them permission to now talk the way John Stewart was, to say the quiet part out loud. Do you remember the devastating thing John Stewart said? He said, if he's so in control, if he's running everything so well, if he can work so fluidly, could we see a video of it? How about showing us that video? They can't, because it doesn't exist, and it doesn't exist because he can't and he isn't. So when these guys go on these tears, like the fantasy world that Robert Herr created, listen to this. The Washington Post reported that a transcript of Herr's interview of Biden painted a nuanced portrait of Biden, who doesn't come across as being as absent-minded as Herr has made him out to be. The New York Times said that on several occasions, Biden, quote, fumbled with dates and the sequence of events while otherwise appearing clear-headed. Are they kidding me? They think we're dumb. They think we're dumb. I'm going to come back to this in a moment. First, let me go to Mike in Carefree. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Seth.
How are you, sir?
It's just good. Good, thank you. And you?
I'm fine, thank you.
With respect to all these hearings about documents, there's a few things that make this really kind of kabuki theater. Every single president in the history of the country has had access to every bit of classified information ever divulged during his tenure, correct?
Yes, of course. Well, if they didn't have physical access, they had legal and moral access to it, because the president
right.
is the person who gets to declassify at the top of the food chain of that. He's the apex predator
right.
of declassification.
So if they wanted to commit treason, they would have that information in their head.
Right. That's right. That's right. They know things. Right.
So the paper trail and the papers is merely window dressing. And additionally, when they say, well, you know, these files were.
You may have cut out there for a second, Mike. Say it again. Are you still with me? I think you cut out. Mike, are you still there? Or did you hit mute by chance? One or the other? I'll give you another moment here. Yes, yes. Mike, call us right back. You cut out. I apologize if you can hear me. Please call us right back. You did cut out for a second there. So the media is trying to do its part to convey the Eugene Robinson point that this is a fantasy world that Robert Herr constructed. Axios, they were a little more honest. They were a little more honest in their report this morning when they got a hold of the transcripts. They write this, and I'll quote directly, and Axios is not a conservative outlet. In his five-hour interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur, President Biden repeatedly mixed up dates, countries, and the timeline of significant events, including the years his son Beau died and Donald Trump was elected. Perfectly clear, that's what we read, that's what Robert Hur saw, and there's no getting around it. That is the truth of who your commander-in-chief is right now. They say, why does this matter? Well, the transcript supports Hur's account that Biden had multiple mental lapses despite recent pushback from the president and the White House. Over the course of the two-day interview, which took place in early October, Biden repeatedly asked for help remembering certain important dates, and his lawyers frequently stepped in. When did I announce for president? He asked. If it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? In 2009, am I still vice president? Trump gets elected in November of 2017? He asks. I mean, this is basic autobiography. When you don't know when you were vice president, and you don't know when the guy you defeated in 2020 was elected president, we can be decorous about his son, but you read the transcript, and it's clear that what Joe Biden said and screamed about Robert Hur when he said, "How dare he?" It wasn't Robert Hur who brought up his son's date of death. It was Joe Biden who brought and injected his son into the equation and then got into a dispute over dates. He had to be reminded of the date of his son's death. Now, I don't want to really spend much time on that. That's just way too fraught with emotion. So I'll leave that. I'll prescind that for the time being. But when he didn't know when he was elected president or when Trump was or when he was vice president, basic autobiography. Basic. I mean, you think about the job you have now. Now, quickly, tell me, how long does it take you to remember when you got it? Now make that job vice president and president of the United States. Portions of this show are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They have a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio that really invests in you. You can, of course, turn your income on or off. You can compound it whatever you like. Total peace of mind. There's no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and there are absolutely no fees with YRefi. Check them out online at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YRefi24. 888-YRefi24. The best part with YRefi, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. InvestYRefi.com. If you missed my monologue, by the way, you can always get them, the audio of my monologue. So you can get everything at 960thepatriot.com. You can get tickets for our event on March 26th with Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, and myself, others. But I was making the point that liberal New York Times columnist, well, he's a liberal. He has a column in the New York Times today saying that Joe Biden is too decent of a man and needs to take the gloves off. And we went through that. And one of the things I mentioned was I must be on different mailing lists than Joe Klein. The mailing lists I get under the signatures of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are not the message of a man who is decent. And I, as over this commercial break, was thinking about that. I just got one, another fundraising letter under Joe Biden's signature. We know who Donald Trump is, and we know what he does. We know that he is willing to sacrifice our democracy. We cannot let him take us backwards. Re-elect Kamala and me to prevent extremism from entering the White House. You know, it's all, I guess, fair game in war of politics. But I'm getting a little tired of hearing that the harsh rhetoric is all on one side and not the Democrats. If you missed my monologue going through the history of it, please check it out. Okay, what? I got to go? What?
No.
What?
Got
to
go.
What? Well, what? You're,
not to nitpick.
You're gesticulating over there.
I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Not to nitpick, but isn't that quote-unquote illegal? I recall a situation in 1984 where the Reagan campaign had to revise a poster because the verbiage and order in which Reagan and Bush were placed next to each other was wrong.
Do you remember
that?
Their
official remember of – shut up. I wasn't around then. I learned it. I'm remembering the fact that I learned this information.
Okay.
Isn't it wrong of them to say Kamala and me?
I you know, not anymore. Not anymore.
There are rules to the office. You respect the rules.
I know.
I
know, but I mean, that's the point. They want to put in front of the American people that this is a African-American woman. This is a diverse administration. You remember the picture, the first picture of the Biden website in 2020 was Kamala Harris first and then Joe Biden. All right. Now I got to go. Be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.